Good morning. So today's topic is the reason for karbanos, and specifically Rambam's explanation for karbanos. What we were supposed to do is talk about the Rambam's position about Tamei and Mitzvos and Mor Nevuchim, and I thought that since this week's Parsha is Parsha Svayikra, we would consider his approach specifically with respect to the Tam for karbanos, which is, of course, one of the more controversial positions that he espouses. And perhaps we'll begin by considering the questions that the Ramban asks on his position at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, and then examine the Rambam, what he actually says in those light, in that light. So the Ramban, in Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes, asks, quotes the Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam as saying that the reason for karbanos is in order to combat the idolatrous inclinations of the people at the time. It was a concession, as it were, to idolatry. And specifically, he quotes only one passage of the Rambam. Now, that's significant because, as we'll see shortly, the Rambam discusses the reasons for karbanos in at least four different places. The Ramban only quotes one of them, which is somewhat surprising, and as we'll see shortly, when the Ritva or the Abarbanel defend the Rambam, they are very surprised that the Ramban only quotes this small subsection of the Rambam. Be that as it may, the part that he quotes states as follows, that the reason why the three species of animal offerings were chosen, namely sheep, goat, and cattle, is because those were the three species that, generally speaking, the idolaters of the ancient world used to worship. The Egyptians worshipped sheep, as the Pasuk says, if we slaughter sheep, their gods, they will certainly stone us. The Sabians worshipped goats, or they worshipped Shadim, and they associated Shadim with goats. And finally, the Egyptians, till this day, and still to this day, worship cows, and you'll find that they don't slaughter a cow. So, to show that this belief was false, and this belief was common in the ancient world, the Torah chose these three species as the three species which were kosher as a karban. Now, this type of idea is something that the Rambam frequently does. Many of the mitzvos in the Torah, when the Rambam offers the reasons, the Rambam says that they're meant to combat idolatry. Even mitzvos that don't seem to have anything to do with idolatry. In other words, certainly there are a lot of explicit mitzvos that are meant to combat idolatry. But even mitzvos, let's take an example of basar b'chalav. So the Rambam writes, when talking about the reason for basar b'chalav, and you could see this on page 26 of your short source sheets if you'd like, the Rambam writes, starts on, this is from Mor Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, Perek 48. The Rambam writes, what is the reason for non-kosher food? So many of them he gives health reasons, and he writes, I maintain that the food which is forbidden by the law is unwholesome. And then he says, well, what about basar b'chalav? Basar b'chalav doesn't necessarily fit into that category because basar is mutter and chalav is mutter. So first he speculates that perhaps the mixing of them makes you over full and it's prohibited because it's unhealthy, it's too fatty. And then he says, but the truth of the matter is that I think that it's because the practice of basar b'chalav, of cooking meat and milk, was somehow connected to idolatry. Now, how does he know that? So sometimes it's because he quotes Sifrei Avodah Zarah. This time he actually has a diuk from the Pasuk. His diuk is that every time it mentions in the Torah, lo sevashel gadi b'chalev imo, all three times it does so with the association of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? For example, in Parshas Mishpatim, it talks about the mitzvah of aliyas haregel and shalosh pamim b'shanah yireh kol zechorcha, And then it says, Lo sefa shel gadi b'chalev imo. Well, what does one thing have to do with the other? Answers the Rambam, because somehow or another, it was the act of cooking meat and milk was associated with idolatry or some type of idolatrous practice. So, therefore, as we see, the Rambam on many occasions associates various mitzvos with Avodah Zarah. And what the Ramban quotes that he says over here as well, that the reason why these three species of karbanos were chosen to combat Avodah Zarah is also another example. Now this point, by the way, this type of sociological or historical reason for mitzvos is one which many thinkers oppose, as we could imagine. In your source sheets, we won't go through them now, you'll see the critique of the Maharal and others. Now, the Ramban then says, well, when it comes to karbanos, this is a very problematic approach. First of all, he says, it doesn't make any sense that something which is so important as karbanos, the Torah spends so much time not just describing karbanos, but telling us that it's lechem yisherech nichoach lahashem, it's a service that brings us close to God, and it's inconceivable that the Rambam is correct when he says that the service of karbanos is simply to combat idolatry and idolatrous beliefs. After all, it's clear from the Torah that this is a positive religious value. Moreover, he says that how do you explain the sacrifice of Noah after he left the Teva? There was no idolatry in the world. It was just the eight of them, and presumably none of them were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And likewise, the karban of Hevel. How do we explain that? And rather, the Ramban then gives two explanations of his own. He gives a tam al pipshat, a reason that could be understood simply, and that is that the purpose of karbanos are to basically make the person who sinned aware of his sin, and to inculcate within him the gravity of his sin, and to associate the act of bringing a karban with numerous physical actions in order to concretize within him the severity of what he's done, and essentially to make the act of tshuva something more meaningful. Tshuva, when it's just a machshava, is something that's very fleeting, but if done in the context of the service of karbanos, that's the tam al pipshat. And then he says, but there's also a tam al pms, ayin sham. Now we're going to focus, though, on the Rambam's position. And to understand the Rambam completely, yes.
I don't know if I missed it, but we spoke last week about just the reason for the mitzvot. Almost everybody seemed to agree that the reason they give is not the
yes
like, the reason.
Correct.
Is perhaps one of the reasons.
Yes.
So the Rambam is just giving, perhaps.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course the Rambam doesn't think. Yes. It's an excellent question, and if we were focusing on the Ramban, we would talk about it. It happens to be that Ramban notes that at the end, even Karban Ola, even an Ola's Tamid falls into that criteria, because he says that the Sibor always sins. It doesn't seem to explain Karbanos like Shlomim. The Ramban does talk about Karbanos in other places as well, in his commentary on the Torah, in Torah Sa'adam Shar Gmul, in Drashas Tar Sashem Tamima, and maybe if we have time at the end, we'll go back to the Ramban, but today I want to focus on the Rambam. Okay. So now the Rambam, as I said. The Rambam, we're going to focus on four different things that he says concerning karbanos, and we'll see that perhaps the perspective that the Ramban portrays or accuses the Rambam of maintaining is not so pashut. So the first statement is one that we've seen already from Hilchos Me'ilah, the very end, where the Rambam writes that a person should seek to try to understand the reasons for mitzvos. And there the Rambam writes, essentially, that karbanos fall under the classification of chukim. And the Rambam writes that when it comes to chukim, you shouldn't go ahead and treat them any less severely just because you don't know the reason. In fact, Torah commands concerning chukim not just that there is a mitzvah of asiyah to do them, but shmira, to protect them. And the reason why there's an obligation to protect them is because people might tend to treat them lightly since they don't understand the reasons. And the umos ha'olam used to be mitzairas, still are, about these things, etc., etc. And in this class, he gives a number of examples. For example, chazer, basar b'chalav. Now note that these things, and this relates to the point you made, these things that he classifies as chukim, like basar b'chalav or chazer or the like, are all things which he gives reasons for in the Mor Nevuchim. Now, does he mean, is that a chazara? Does he think they're not chukim? No. He's aware that these types, the types of reasons that he's suggesting, and especially these sociological or historical or biological reasons, are speculative. And perhaps, like you were saying, don't quite fully explain the reason, but nevertheless there's a value he felt in Mor Nevuchim to offer reasons, but they're still kept in the classification of chukim, and karbanos fall under this category. It's interesting, of course, that he does, when he mentions karbanos, he focuses on Seir Mishtaleach, which is probably the most perplexing of all karbanos, in the sense that it's avoda b'chutz, and seemingly an avoda to tumah. But that's statement one. So statement one about karbanos is that, and you see it on page 35 of your source books, is that they are chukim. Statement two of karbanos is from Mor Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, Perek Chaf Vav. And there he writes, again, probably one of the most controversial things he writes in Mor Nevuchim, and that is that even though every single one of the mitzvos has a reason, however, sometimes the details of the mitzvos do not have reasons. And he says that I have a chazal that basically says that as well. The Medrash says, and you could find this on your source books on page 28. The Medrash says in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Yud Gimel, V'chima echpes l'Kadosh Baruch Hu im shochet min ha-tzavar o shochet min ha-oreif. What does God care if you slaughter from the front of the neck or the back of the neck? Have lo nitnu ha-mitzvos elo letzarif bahenes abrios. Shenemar kol imros eloka tzrufa. So the way the Rambam understands that is that the God doesn't really care, meaning to say that perhaps there's a mitzvah for the reason of for the mitzvah shechita, there's a reason, but the detail, namely that it has to be in the front and not in the back of the neck, is unimportant because God doesn't really care. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? Now, we saw earlier that the Ramban, for example, understands that Medrash very differently. The Ramban understands that Medrash is saying God doesn't care because you're not giving him anything, like the Pasuk in Iyov says that im chatasa matifol bo, rather the purpose is for us, letzarif esabrios, to make us more refined, in this case, to prevent us from having achzorius. The laws of shechit are designed to minimize the pain to the animal and thereby prevent us from becoming cruel people. However, the Rambam understands that that statement is telling us that the details of the mitzvos don't have a reason, or don't necessarily have a reason. Why then does God give them to us? Is God just capricious? The answer is, of course not. Their purpose is to instill obedience, and that's no small thing. We have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the law and follow that which he says. But inherently, the way he puts it, these regulations and the like are nothing but tests for man's obedience. In this sense, you will understand the example quoted by our sages that there is no difference between killing the animal by cutting its neck in the front and in the back. Now then the Rambam writes, even though the Medrash gives this as an example of a mitzvah whose details don't have a reason, the truth is here, they do seem to have a reason. The reason why we slaughter from the front of the neck and not the back of the neck is to minimize pain to the animal. By slaughtering in the front, as you know, all of Hilchos Shechita to a large degree are designed to minimize the pain. When you slaughter in the front, the animal loses consciousness very quickly by the sudden loss of blood, etc., etc. So therefore, he thinks that this isn't actually a good example of that phenomena, and a better example of that phenomena would be karbanos. When it comes to karbanos, certainly there is a reason for the mitzvah of karbanos, which he's going to state in a moment. However, the details, why is it that a chatas has four matanos and an ola has shnaim shem arba? Why is an asham b'tzafon and a shlamim could even be nishchat b'darom? Why these animals and not other animals? All these types of questions, all these types of details, well, we can't and we don't have a reason for them. Now, parenthetically, in discussing the Tam of Karbanos, the Sefer HaChinuch makes a very interesting point relating to this. This is the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tzadi Hei, which is actually a binyan base of Bechira. And there the Chinuch goes ahead. In terms of Karbanos, he writes a reason very similar to that of the Ramban. He amplifies it a little bit. And then he says, Uvinyan chiloka karbanos b'shchitasan uvimatanos hadam uvachiloka kohanim v'yeser pirteim rabim. All these myriad of details that concern the halachos of karbanos. Im nomar lefi apshat shayakein lios machsheves ha'oved michuvenes el avodah harbei. If we're going to say that the reason is so that we pay very close attention to what we're doing, in other words, by putting all these details, so then anyone who's doing the avodah has to pay very close attention. Something along the lines of what the Rambam writes to instill obedience and the like. Ki hachilukin yachrichu kivun hamachshava bidavar, because details force a person to concentrate. Lo na'ale biyadenu rak divrei naros. If we were to try to give that type of reason, we would end up with divrei naros. It would be foolish. V'klal hadvarim kigam bipshatim lo nimtza yadenu v'raglenu bilti sa'ad hamikubalim. Ve'alehem nichra apayim v'yiftechu lanu b'chol eile ha'inayim. When it comes to the details of a mitzvah, the only types of justifications we could give are based off of sod. In other words, the Sefer HaChinuch, which tries to offer rational reasons for all the mitzvos, so the Sefer HaChinuch writes, I could give you reasons for mitzvos, but I can't give you the reasons for details. The only way to understand the reasons for the details of the mitzvah is to turn to Chachmas HaEmes. And, in fact, those who critique the Rambam's position that mitzvos have a reason, but sometimes the details do not, when they offer reasons, they do so al pisod. The Ramban, when the Nefesh HaChaim critiques the point of the Rambam over here, the Nefesh HaChaim writes, that's because the details all have reasons, but they have reasons al pisod. In other words, the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us that there's no way sometimes we could understand some of the details, but if we wish to understand all of the details of all the mitzvos, the only way to do that is using Taras HaSod. So that is the second statement of the Rambam concerning karbanos, namely that there's a purpose for the mitzvah, but not necessarily the details. Yes?
You did that Hirsch's approach to the detail of mitzvah is not Kabbalah-oriented?
No, it's not Kabbalah-oriented. I don't think.
You
but
the example of somebody who does address the details.
But I don't think he comes close to addressing the details. He picks out some details which he has an explanation for and offers reasons. It's true, but and maybe I have not spent enough time studying Rav Hirsch, but I at least what the Sefer HaChinuch claims, and I think it resonates very powerfully with me, is that really there is no way other than giving these broad reasons for the details. Now, some of the details we have explanations for. There are many of them. But let's say with Avodas HaKarbanos, which is so full of thousands of details and differences and the like, so to go ahead and try to give reasons for all of those rationally is something, at least that the Sefer HaChinuch says, is just going to lead to divrei nairus. Yes?
How does the Rambam exactly understand the tzarei and sefriyus?
That means yira, to instill yira in people, Yerushamayim, that they go ahead and they follow that which God said specifically, and that purifies people. There's Yerushamayim and obedience and following the Ratzon Hashem in every single detail is something that purifies and brings people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Letzarif doesn't have to mean midos tovos, like the Ramban explains. Letzarif just means to purify in some sense. Okay. The third statement is the statement in Book 3, Chapter 46, which the Ramban indeed quotes. And this is, the Rambam goes ahead and writes that there are 14 classes of mitzvos. These correspond, of course, to the 14 Svarim and Yad HaChazaka. And the 11th class is in Sefer Avoda and Sefer Karbanos. And he talks about here the details of Karbanos, interestingly enough. In other words, even though the Rambam himself said that we can't offer reasons for the details of Karbanos, but he offers reasons for many of the details. So here he says, well, why is it that these three species are chosen? As we saw earlier quoted in the Ramban, these three species that animal sacrifices may be brought from, namely sheep, goat, and cows, are all the three species that were worshipped in the ancient world. Then the Rambam says, well, what about Korban Pesach? So that's, of course, the reason for all the details of Korban Pesach was because we wanted to show our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim by slaughtering their God, and that's the reason for the details as well. For example, why is it that it had to be roasted or the blood sprinkled on the door? All these were to go ahead and show that we were willing to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu and absolutely reject the idolatrous belief that sheep were somehow divine in some sense. So therefore we go ahead and we drag them through the streets and we put the blood on the doorposts. The reason why it has to be roasted and not cooked is because when you have a barbecue, everybody could smell it. When you cook something, you could only smell it in your own kitchen. All this was to go ahead and show our devotion to God and our rejection of the Egyptian deity. And he goes through many of the reasons, many of the details for Karbanos. He says, well, why is it that Tor and Bnei Yonah are chosen for the bird sacrifices? Because generally speaking, who brings bird sacrifices? Poor people. And therefore, they were the species that was most abundant and therefore most cheap was chosen. In the idolatrous cultures, they used to bring lions and tigers and bears for Karbanos, and those were things that were very expensive. So this, everything was chosen. And then he goes through many of the details. He says, the greater the sin which a person committed, the lower the species from which the sin offering was brought. And that's why when you bring a Karban Chatas for Avodah Zarah, it was only a goat, while other Averos from which you could bring a Karban Chatas could be a sheep, because a goat is lower than, it's more inferior than a sheep. And that's why the offering of a king for sins committed ignorantly was a goat, because we wish to show the severity of his sin. And he goes through and he says, it's very interesting, because he says in the earlier section that the details, like for example which species were chosen, there is no reason, but then he goes ahead and offers reasons for many of the details. And then he even gives reasons which are very similar to the Ramban's reason. For example, he writes, why is it that a minchas chote and a minchas kinaos has no shemen ulavona? The reason is because by taking away these luxuries, namely the oil and the frankincense, the person was told that what you did was improper. Because the persons that brought this, the oblation, were not good and proper in their deeds. And they are, as it were, to be reminded by their offering that they ought to repent. As if they were told, your offering is without any ornamental addition on account of the wickedness of your deeds. And the sota, which is even more wicked, it wasn't only that there was no shemen v'lavona, but it was brought for seorim, which is maisa behema. So the Rambam himself offers reasons for the specifics, and many of his reasons are more or less parallel to the types of reasons that the Ramban gives. Now, this does not contradict the second statement, namely that their details have no reasons. What he meant to say there was that we can't explain every single detail, and some of the details perhaps have no reason other than to instill obedience. But there, and this gets back to your point from Rav Hirsch, many of the details that we can explain, the Rambam goes ahead and does offer explanations. And many of the explanations are the type of explanations that Ramban or Sefer HaChinuch might give. Okay, so far we have three statements. Let me just get to the fourth one, and then we'll try to put it together. Now, the fourth statement is where he actually discusses the reasons for Karbanos. Until now, he hasn't discussed the reason. He talked about the details, but he hasn't discussed the reason. The reason for the Karbanos is in Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Beis. Now, one of the strange things about the Ramban that we started with is the Ramban does not quote this. In fact, in the critique that the Ritva and the Avar Benel and others make on the Ramban's Tainos against the Rambam is that the Ramban does not quote the section of the guide where the Rambam actually talks about the reasons for Karbanos. He only quotes chapter 46, which talks about the reasons for why specific species were chosen. But what the reason for Karbanos was, the Ramban doesn't quote, and that the Rambam says in Perek Lamed Beis. What does he say over there? So he starts off by discussing and stating that human nature is such that a person cannot go from one extreme to another extreme rapidly. We're not able to make huge transitions quickly. And then he gives an example. He says, when the Jewish people left Egypt, so it says that God didn't allow them to follow the path close to the Plishtim, Derech Eretz Plishtim ki karov hu. Why? Lest the people see war and shavu Mitzrayima, turn back to Egypt. So you see that people can't go from one extreme to another extreme, from a rejection. In this case, they were coming from a culture in which people serve their God through Karbanos. And likewise, the Jewish people, had they been told that they can't serve God through Karbanos, that would have been impossible. That would have been pushing them from one extreme to another extreme too rapidly. And he says, well, you might ask, well, why doesn't God just change their nature? And the answer is, God doesn't change our nature. Just like he had to bring us through the desert in a circuitous way, and he didn't change our nature such that we wouldn't be afraid of war, so too, he doesn't change our nature, because the Jewish people in Mitzrayim had a desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Arvodas HaKarbanos, and he doesn't change our nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah to allow us to do that which is right and serve the Ribono Shel Olam given our human nature. He doesn't go ahead and change our nature. If so, if he did, then the whole purpose of the law would be batel, he writes. So therefore what? So therefore the Jewish people in Egypt lived in a world in which, and came from a society in which, the way of serving God was through Karbanos. And therefore, they could not be asked not to serve God through Karbanos. And he gives an analogy. He says, just like nowadays, if we were to be told that we should no longer serve God through tefillah and fasting, we would not be able, and we should only serve God through the intellect, through thinking, contemplating, studying. So that would be something that we couldn't be mekabel. So too, Klal Yisrael couldn't be mekabel this idea that we should only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah and not through Karbanos. Now, here he's saying a very important thing. This is very different than saying that Karbanos are a concession to idolatry. This is very different than saying Karbanos have no inherent purpose or no religious value. The Rambam is saying, no, Karbanos do have a value. Karbanos bring a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the purpose of Karbanos. However, there's somewhat of a hierarchy. And yes, indeed it is the case that tefillah is a way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is higher in many senses than Karbanos. And the truth of the matter is, in theory, perhaps serving God purely on an intellectual plane is higher than even tefillah. However, just like nobody would say that tefillah is b'di'eved, because considering where we are, we need tefillah to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too, when it comes to karbanos, the Jewish people needed karbanos to come close to the Ribono Shel Olam. So karbanos certainly had a positive value. They were reach nichoach. They brought people close to God. It's true, perhaps in a hierarchy, they are not as great as other forms, but it's not the case that this was just meant to combat idolatry. When the Rambam writes in Parak Mem Vav that certain species were chosen to combat idolatry, that's the reason for the choice of species, but that's not the reason for the karbanos in general. And that's what the Ritva points out. The Ramban made a mistake here. The Ramban looked at Parak Mem Vav and thought that the Rambam was giving the reason for karbanos. No, that's not the reason for karbanos. That's the reason why these species were chosen. The reason for karbanos was to bring us close to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Rambam then brings a number of proofs that this idea is correct. One of his proofs is the fact that the Torah and the Nevi'im in so many places chastises the Jews for focusing on karbanos. And perhaps the most powerful of these is Yirmiyahu, Parak Zayin, Komar Hashem Tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael, Eloseichem, Sfu al Zivcheichem, V'chlu Basar, I don't want your karbanos, go just eat meat. Ki lo dibarti es avoseichem, v'lo tzivitim b'yom hotzi'i osam me'aretz Mitzrayim al divrei olav azavach. Because I didn't command the Jewish people when I took them out of Egypt to bring karbanos. Now the Rambam says, what do you mean? What about the Sefer Vayikra? Ki im es hadavar shetivisi osam le'mor, what did I tell them? To follow Torah and mitzvos. And likewise, there's so many psukim and Tanakh, right, that are along these signs, along these lines. Lo alzevachecho chichecha ve'olosecha l'negdi tamid. Sefer Shmuel, Hachafetz Lashem ba'olosus vachim, kishmoa b'kol Hashem. Hosea, ki chesed chafatzti v'lo zevach, v'das elokim ma'alos. Lama li rov zivchechem, sanesim ma'asti chageichem, v'lo ariach b'reach nichochechem. We could go on. There are dozens of psukim to this effect. So the Rambam says, we don't find this by any other avodos. We don't find that the Nevi'im ever chastised Klal Yisrael for davening too much, or for any other excess. So why is that? That's because perhaps karbanos are not the ideal service of God. And therefore, if the focus is on them, that leads to a distortion of the law. And that was not my focus when I took you out of Egypt and gave you the Torah. Not that they weren't mitzvos. And then he has this theory that the pasuk's talking about botzieschem, meaning immediately, and karbanos weren't given at Mara and the like, but generally says that all of these psukim point to the fact that within the hierarchy of means by which we come close to the Ribono Shel Olam, karbanos are not at the top. And then he says there's another way we could see this, and that is the fact that karbanos could only be brought at a certain time in a certain place, and we can't bring karbanos nowadays, whereas there are no such limitations for something like tefillah. There's no halacha that you can only daven at a certain place or at a certain time or certain people. And that's because, again, tefillah is in many ways a higher form. Now, here we have four different statements of the Rambam. So, have we answered the questions of the Ramban? So, to a large degree, we have. Why is it that the psukim, if they're only meant to combat idolatrous inclinations, why is it that they're called Reach Nichoach Lashem? The answer is because they bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the Karbanos of Noach? So the Ritva, there's a very important work when studying Mor Nevuchim called the Ritva Sefer Zikaron, and his treatment of the Karbanos is in your book. It's on page, starting on 45 of the source books. The reason why Noach brought korbanos was because he... Remember, when did Avodah Zarah start? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it started Bimei Enosh. And therefore, Noach, with this new world order, was making a strong statement that in this world we've rejected idolatry. What about the Karban of Havel? So the Ritva says that's Taka more of a Kasha. And he says that to understand that, you have to know the secret of what the Rambam writes about Cain and Havel. Now, unfortunately, he doesn't tell you what that secret is. The footnotes send you to an interesting place. The footnotes send you to... the Rambam, Rani Wolfram, yeah. The footnotes... No, well, the footnotes, I'm sorry, on the Sefer Zikaron... Where did my copy go? Oh, here we are. The footnotes send you to Chelak Sheni Perak Lamed, where the Rambam writes, "Umimash et sarach shetedaehu gamkein v'te'oer alav ofanei hachachma b'kriyas b'nei adam kain v'hevel hayos kain hu hahoreg lehevel b'sade v'shem yachad avdu af al pi sheherich l'rotzeach v'shelo iskayim hametzios el l'sheis." Essentially, the Rambam there writes that you have to look at the meaning of the names of Cain v'Hevel. Cain v'Hevel were both far from perfect people, and that's why God wiped them out, and humanity only emerged from Sheis. And essentially, what the Rambam writes, this is, if you look at the commentaries on the Mor Nevuchim, especially the Shem Tov, they explain that there are three types of people. Those that are entirely physical, and that's what Cain represented. Those that are spiritual, and that was Sheis. And those that are mixed. And Hevel had a spiritual element, but it was not used for good. That's what the word Hevel comes from. Hevel Havalim. Hevel, for example, a person could go ahead and reject entirely physical pleasures, but that doesn't mean what they're seeking is good. You could run after kavod, or kinna, or the like. Without getting into details, Hevel himself wasn't so great. And his karbanos were a reflection of his distorted attitude. Now, it was better than Cain's, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the karban. But the reason why he chose to bring a karban is not necessarily a reflection of the ideal. Now, what about the stiros in the Rambam? So, first of all, we have to remember what we've said before, that the Rambam himself says that he's intentionally placed stiros in the Mor Nevuchim to make sure that people who are not worthy of studying it will not study it. It's usher to be megala sodos haTorah explicitly, and therefore the Rambam, who was the master organizer, as we know from Mishneh Torah, includes contradictions here, not because of disorganization for that matter. And the disorganization is not because he was not good at organizing. We know there was no one greater at organizing and systematizing. Rather, it's because it's usher to be megala, ma'aser bereishis and ma'aser merkava, to those who aren't worthy. And it would be usher to write the Mor Nevuchim unless he inserted confusion and contradiction. However, in this case, I don't really think there are any contradictions in the Mor Nevuchim. When he says they're chukim, and then he offers reasons, that's not a stira. Because chukim, even if you offer reasons to chukim, those are speculative, and they don't quite fully capture the essence of the mitzvah. They're perhaps a dimension. In fact, the Ritva writes, in the beginning of this treatment of Sefer's, of Karbanos, he writes, the Rambam knew that this type of reason does not fully explain Karbanos. He was doing what he could to explain it on a rational level, which was the purpose of the book. The Rambam knew, though, that this doesn't fully explain it, and that's why he classifies them as chukim. Second of all, there's no stira between what he says that, in terms of the details, like we explained. Some details we could understand, some details might not have reasons. There's no stira between Mem Vav and Lamed Beis, because in Mem Vav he's giving the reasons for the details, and in Lamed Beis he's giving the reasons for the general. So that's true. But at the same time, there is something that tugs at the heart. It's interesting that the Ramban himself doesn't articulate this question, I believe. But if it is indeed the case that karbanos reflect a lower service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why is it that we daven for the restoration of the avoda? The Rambam certainly felt that la'asid lavo, the avodas beis hamikdash and avodas hakarbanos would be restored. First of all, it's one of the ikari emuna that the Torah and all of its mitzvos are nitzchi. Second of all, the Rambam explicitly writes that one of the things that the Melech HaMashiach is going to do is to restore avodas hakarbanos. And why would we, if tefillah is a higher form of service than karbanos, why would we daven for that restoration? That's a question that remains troubling. I'd like to see with you one more source concerning the Rambam, and that's a passage from Reb Tzadok. You might think that looking to Hasidus to understand Mar Nevuchim is a little strange, but in many ways I think the most powerful explanation of the Rambam's position in Mar Nevuchim is given by Reb Tzadok. Now, there are many, many explanations before we get to Reb Tzadok, Yeshuvim, to this question. The Meshech Chachma, for example, in his Hakdama to Vayikra, says that what the Rambam writes, that of karbanos are a concession to idolatry, he didn't mean all karbanos, he meant heter bamos. Bamos were a concession, they're not ideal, and that's why they were eventually banned, but karbanos have a higher purpose. It's a nice yishuv, though I don't know if it fits into the lashon of the Rambam so well. Others have suggested that the Rambam was giving a reason for karbanos of nidava, that karbanos nidava are what the Nevi'im are always chastising because they could serve as a distraction from higher forms of avodas Hashem and chesed and the like. There's no limit to how many could be brought, and one can deceive themselves and think that by bringing all these karbanos nedava, they're thereby not accountable or responsible for their immoral behavior. Oh, that's another yishuv, but the Rambam's reason doesn't apply for karbanos chova. So there are a number of yishuvim. Again, I'm not sure how well that fits either. The first thing to note is that, surprisingly enough, the Rambam did not make up this idea that karbanos are to some degree meant to combat the idolatrous inclinations of the Jews at the time. It's a Mefurish Medrash. The Vayikra Rabbah Parsha Tess writes, Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Rabbi Menachem, Degalia, Lasid Lavok, no, that's a different Medrash, sorry. That's the Medrash about how Lasid Lavo, all karbanos will be betelos, except for a karban toda, which is interesting also in light of the Rambam's position. But what I actually meant to show you, and it's in your source books, is Vayikra Rabbah Parsha Chaf Beis. The Medrash says, Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Levi Amar, Mashal ben Melech shegas libo alav, v'hayalamid lechol baser nevelos utrefos. There was a ben Melech, of course, Klal Yisrael, who accustomed himself to eating the nevelos and trefos. Amar Melech ze yatadir al shulchani, umeatzmo hu nadur, kach, lefishayu Yisrael lehutim achar avodas kochavim b'mitzrayim, v'hayu mevi'im karbaneim l'si'irim, dechsiv v'lo yizbuchu od ez zivcheihem l'si'irim, vein si'irim elu shedim, shenamar v'chulei, So Amar Kadosh Baruch v'hayu yisurin ba'un aleihem. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu yihu makrivim lefanei b'chol eis karbanosehen ba'ol moed v'hein nifrashim me'avodas kochavim v'hein nitzulim. So let the Jewish people bring karbanos. I think the lashon of b'chol eis actually sounds like the idea that perhaps it's focusing on karbanos nedava, right? Let them bring karbanos at my table. Meaning to say, just like the Melech says, okay, this son of mine who's getting into trouble, he'll always eat at my table. And if he always eats at my table, he won't eat disgusting things. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, bring karbanos in my house, and that'll keep you out of trouble. So, the Maram al-Shakar in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin is the first one, I think, to note that this reason that the Rambam gives is found in Chazal as well. And in fact, a lot of the things that you'll find in the Rambam that seem very controversial, not surprisingly, I have a source in Chazal. So Rab Tzadok, this is from Tzidkas HaTzadik Oz Mem Beis, suggests the following. He says, we find a fascinating thing by tefillah. We know, of course, karbanos are keneged tefillah. And when it comes to tefillah, the Mishnah tells us, al ta'aseh tefilascha keva el rachamim v'tachanunim, which means, the Rishonim explain, that a person should not daven because it's a chova. Rather, tefillah should be rachamim v'tachanunim. It should be reflect our desire to speak to God, to grow close to God, and the like. So it's very interesting, because I'm embellishing, Rav Tzadok doesn't make these points explicitly, but it's very interesting that we find this idea only concerning tefillah. There's no other mitzvah that I'm aware of where we say you should not do the mitzvah because it's a chova. In other words, there's nothing wrong with blowing shofar, netilas lulav, or eating matzah because Hashem commanded us to do it. Now, of course, we have to be careful not to do it mitzvah sanashim elumada, but doing it because it's a chova is okay. That's a legitimate reason to do the mitzvah. Perhaps you could do more, you could be Ovid Hashem Me'ava, or whatever it is. But there's nothing wrong with doing a mitzvah because Hashem told us to do the mitzvah. It's only when it comes to tefillah that Chazal tell us that you shouldn't daven because it's a mitzvah to daven. You should daven because we need to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, that's because tefillah, as all thinkers have noted, is something that doesn't seem to make too much sense. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we need and gives us what's best for us. So why do we need to tell him, and why should we ask? And the answer, of course, is that tefillah is not for Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's for us. Now, that's true for all mitzvot, as we said, but it's especially true for tefillah. And tefillah gives us the opportunity to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the same thing, and along similar lines, with respect to karbanos. What does the Rambam mean to say that the people in the ancient world served their God through karbanos? The answer is because people have a desire to give to their gods, to strengthen their gods. The idea of karbanos is, as it were, you're feeding your God. And Klal Yisrael likewise had a desire to give to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to give him something. That is the basis for the mitzvos of karbanos. And he explains beautifully that's what the whole Gemara in Menachos that the Ramban himself quotes is saying. The Gemara in Menachos is all about this point. The Gemara in Menachos is telling us that we shouldn't go ahead. Well, let's read the passage from Reb Tzadok inside. Everyone see where it is? What page is it on? I'm sorry? 43. B'tfilah hu ha'ikar ha'cheshek v'haratzon l'spalal u'lehischanein. U'kimo she'amru al tas tfilas ha'keva ela rachamim. Shehu atzmo ma'amaram shili menachos be'karbanos. This same idea said concerning karbanos, she'tfilah dugmasan, shelo tomar esa ritzono. Right, v'aser ritzoni, my attitude towards karbanu shouldn't be, you know, I'll scratch his back and he'll scratch mine. Talmud lomar l'ritzonchem tis bechuhu. Right, the pasuk says karbanos v'chisis bechu zevach shlamim l'Hashem l'ritzonchem tis bechuhu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to a person that our attitude has to be l'ritzonchem tis bechuhu, l'tzorach atzmechem. So karbanos, like tefillah, are be'etzem, not a mitzvah. And that's what the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we saw before said, that I did not command you to bring karbanos when you left Egypt. What's the pshat? That The pshat is that our attitudes towards korbano should not be because it's a mitzvah, just like tefillah. Not that it isn't a mitzvah, but our attitude shouldn't be, I'm doing this because Hashem said I have to do it. Rather, it should be a reflection of this natural desire to give to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we are all aware that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need anything that we give him. The idea of a karban is that the person who receives this tikroves benefits from it. V'chol avod zara also koach nenem was gabal yede also karban kimo adam al yede machal. And the idea of karbanos in idolatry was that by sacrificing to these forces become more powerful, just like if you were to give a gift of food to a human being. Umitoch shiyadu avod zara kain hayachashkam v'chosvam shiyuchlu lehanos kaviyachol l'Hashem Yisbarach. Since in this world of idolatry they were used to this concept that you could give something to your gods, so too they had a desire to give something to the Ribono Shel Olam. V'al zeh ne'amar l'maase yadcha tichsof u'kimo she'amru zal v'Hashem Yisbarach hirsham bekach shiyuchlu lasos kain shiyu kemahanim osos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it, even though in a certain sense it's preposterous, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them the opportunity to give him something, to give him reach nichoach, to give him lechem isheh. Rak, mi shetzarech lekach be'emes hu nene bekach. But of course, who's benefiting? Who's nene bekach? It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's accepting the karban, but it's us, through our opportunity to give something to the Ribono Shel Olam, and thereby come close to him. Aval Hashem Yisbarach ein sarech lekach, the lo tomer es eseretzono. That's what the Gemara in Menachos says. Don't think that Eser Ritzono, you know, I'm going to scratch HaKadosh Baruch Hu's back by giving him karbanos, and he'll scratch my back. Kibachol mitzvos. In other words, in that sense, it's different from all other mitzvos. Now, of course, concerning all mitzvos, it's really true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need them, but karbanos are, in this sense, different. Karbanos, this is especially true. For all other mitzvos, perhaps through we could be misakin olamos and in some sense give something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, again, alib de emes, we don't, but not with respect to karbanos. Rak lirtzon chem, the Gemara is saying. This is only for us. Kefi ha-ratzon v'cheshek shelachem kein hu ha-karban. According to our ratzon and cheshek, to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such is the karban. Rak demizehu ha-hana'a l'Hashem Yisborach meharatzon v'cheshek shelachem l'hanoso. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get hana from karbanos? Because he sees in us the desire to give to him, and that gives him hana. And the truth of the matter is, tefillah works in a very similar way. Though perhaps, as the Rambam writes, in the hierarchy, tefillah is higher up. So this is the way the Reb Tzadok explains the Rambam. Again, I don't know if the Rambam would put it this way, but I do think that it reflects the basic idea of the Rambam, which is the Rambam is saying that karbanos reflect a basic point in human nature, perhaps in many ways a weakness in human nature, but such is human nature. And in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, karbanos give us that opportunity. And again, it's not just to combat idolatry. That's the reasons for the specifics. But rather, it's a means to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's not perhaps the ideal means. Yes?
The Gemara Menachos that Reb Tzadok is using in the Shiasa Ritzaini doesn't really mean...
That's what's rejecting. Don't say that.
It's not... As in, it's probably closer in ethic to Al-Fiyu Ka'barim Masham Shanasa Rabba Manasa Ka'o Pras, which is a different statement and one that probably applies to all mitzvot.
Yeah. That's a good point.
In which case, you can't really make the argument that Reb Tzadok is making.
Yes, so that's not how he's understanding the Gemara Menachos, and that's because the Gemara Menachos clearly is saying this idea specifically legabe karbanos, and quoting Pesukim only legabe karbanos. In other words, your interpretation of the Gemara Menachos, while it would not explain why the Gemara Menachos is talking specifically about Karbanos. So Reb Tzadok is saying that you see the Gemara does seem to be talking specifically concerning Karbanos. That's the context in which it's brought, right? V'shem atomer l'achilu tzarech, etc. And there's something more specific going on in Karbanos that goes beyond the general idea of al tiyu kavadim ha-mishamshim nesarav al-menas l'kavel pras. That is saying you shouldn't do it. That's an issue of motivation. I shouldn't serve God because I'm going to get reward. But here it's a different havamina. The havamina is that you're, by giving God karbanos, you're feeding him, right?
L'achila hu tzarech. How do you see that? I understand what you're saying. I'm saying, how does that come out of the Gemara?
The Gemara is not talking about tefillah. The Gemara is talking about karbanos. He's making a parallel between tefillah and karbanos, which is that in both of these avodos, there is a mistake that could be made, namely l'achila hu tzarech, or concerning tefillah, that he needs to know what we need, or that otherwise he won't know what to give us. And in both of them, the response is no, that it's not for me, it's for you. But at the same time, by your doing this, you come close to me, and that gives me nachas ruach, or in that sense.
I was asking a different question. How does that mean what Rav Tzadok said?
The havamina is that I am giving to
the words of the Gemara.
Yeah, esa ritzono. I'm going to give him food, kadesh yasa ritzoni, so he'll give me shefa. That's the havamina. In other words, it's as it were the avoda of karbanos to the Ribono Shel Olam was similar to the avoda of karbanos to avodah zarah, which is you somehow give them something, and that's not true, because it's not l'achila hu tzarech. Rather, what is the purpose? L'rtzonchem tizbechu. It's for us. There were a number of other questions I ignored during the time. Are they still in? Okay, great. Wow. Yeah. Okay, great question. What's the difference between a chuk and a mishpat if the chukim also have reasons? So the simple understanding is chukim have reasons which we don't know, and when we do know, when we do speculate, we're quite uncertain about them. The Rambam himself gives another distinction, very famously in Shmona Prakim, which you could find in your source books. Over around page 27, and he writes, there's a famous contradiction between Chazal and the philosophers. The philosophers said that who's the better person? The person who struggles to do that which is right and ultimately does that which is right, or the person who naturally desires to do that which is correct? So the philosopher said the more perfected person, the more perfect person is the person who doesn't desire to do that which is wrong. Whereas Chazal say no, lefum tzara agra, the greater is the person who struggles and does what's right than the person who naturally wishes to do that which is right. So, of course, there's no stira between Chazal and the philosophers, elu v'elu, and what's the resolution? The Rambam says it depends basically if we're talking about chukim or mishpatim. I'm oversimplifying because we're out of time. You could take a look. But the basic answer is as follows. When it comes to rational mitzvos, when it comes to mishpatim, so if I want to go ahead, I always have this strong desire to kill someone, right? I don't know, somebody cuts me off in traffic, and I just want to whip that shotgun out from my glove compartment and shoot him, right? So but I overcome my yetzer hara, and I don't shoot the guy. So I'm sick, right? That doesn't mean, I mean, it's good that I overcame my yetzer hara, but that reflects a weakness, a sickness. Only a disgusting person would have a desire to shoot someone just because they cut them off in traffic. And likewise, if somebody desires to simply take somebody else's property, that reflects a major weakness in character. And that's what the philosophers were talking about, and they were correct when it comes to mishpatim. But when it comes to chukim, So chukim, even if you could go ahead and come up with reasons, but they essentially remain things which we don't understand, or we don't necessarily think apply to us, or the like. And therefore, as rational creatures, we will struggle with them. And if you don't struggle with them, so then that shows you're not a thinking person. And that being the case, so that's what Chazal were saying when they said Lefum Tzara Agra, that better is the person who struggles. Okay, we're out of time. I want to wish you all a Chag Kashav Sameach. We don't have Shir next week. And we'll pick up, God willing, after Pesach with a new topic. Just a couple other points. There are a number of other things in terms of Tamei Mitzvos that we didn't get to. I hope to... you could take a look at your source books if you're interested in them. Also, at the very end of the source book, starting on page 57, I included an essay which I wrote on the topic of Svara and Tamei HaMitzvos and the like, some of which we mentioned last week, a lot which we didn't. If anyone wishes to read that and has haros on the topic, I would very much be interested in any haros. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a Chag Kashem Sameach.